Got for upcoming events, shall we? Welcome here today. And tonight, we're going to do a little decorating. If you have some time to join us, come at 6, and we'll probably order some pizza and have a good time and get in the Christmas spirit. And the wreath is already here, so we got that much taken care of. Bible study Wednesday night. We're going to give that another shot, see how it goes. All right, 6 o'clock here. Next Sunday, the Feliz Fulfillment continues with Joseph's Jesus. We'll have more to say about that later. Sunday, 2 weeks from now, will be our monthly food and fellowship fair. And we always, on this Christmas food and fellowship fair, we do a little fun gift exchange, real cheap things. Buy something, if you're a man, buy something for a man, woman, woman, child, child, that sort of thing, okay? And something that you have been had hanging around and don't want anymore. Just pass it on, that sort of thing, just for fun. Yep, okay. And we'll remind you of that. Also, on the 22nd will be our Christmas program. Concert as well with Thad and Rebecca. They were with us down at the beach on our picnic day. And it's going to be really good with the children's nativity and all of that included. So that's 3 weeks from today. And I think, is that it? Ah, yes, also our Christ's birthday offering we take every year will be the 2 Sundays, the 22nd and the 29th. That goes totally to world missions. All righty. That's all there is there. Going to have Alan and Lula come up and light to the first candle. And Lula is going to read the scripture from the bulletin.
And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name."
Yes. Amen. So we come into the season of anticipation and the coming of our Lord and celebrating that again, trusting that new wonders will unfold for us as we do so. Father, we do come into your house, as always, with thanksgiving and anticipation. Thankful, Lord, that we know that you're here waiting for us and you welcome us in. And thankful for those that are here, mindful that we are missing a number. And we just pray your blessing in each heart and mind. Thank you, Lord, that as we are united together and as we lift you up and exalt you, you draw us to yourself. And we just rejoice in the privilege we have to be your children and gather together here today. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. The fat lady has sung. It's all over. Was it weak last week? It's a little stronger this week? Good. That's good to hear. Alrighty, and some more. Okay, so the question was asked, what's this about Feliz? What's Feliz mean? It's a Spanish word. Adrian, were you telling him? You were.
Happy or merry.
Happy or merry. It's Merry Christmas. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Come on, join in. No? Merry or happy. And so what we're going to do is explore and discover or rediscover what makes us merry and happy in this season. What made Mary merry and happy, right? Huh?
Right.
True happiness and merriment is not just frivolity. It's deeper than that when we receive it from the Lord, and that's what Jesus came to bring us, among other things. So we're going to fulfill its fullest meaning, Feliz. Okay? You up for that? You need a, would you like a little merriment, a little happiness in your life in this season? Okay, this is the true source of it that we're going to share together. And so we're going to begin with Mary's May It Be, as she said. And look at that, you've already gone ahead of me. And oh, that's okay, keep it there, keep it there, keep it there. So anyway, Feliz Fulfillment, Mary's May It Be. We're going to begin in the context of Luke's account of this with an affirming account. And then we'll get on to Mary herself, all right? So Luke chapter 1 provides the context for us. Verse 1 through 4.
Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first...
You kicked out again, Alan. Can you adjust your mic or something? It just bonked out. Somebody's supposed to check that out.
I thought it was goofing out.
There you go. Thanks.
Do you want me to start over?
No.
Okay.
Line 3.
With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught.
Yeah. So Luke says, well, others have written about this, but I've decided it's important for me to kind of take my own account of the things that have been fulfilled among us. And he's thinking that it's important to write down and keep a record of all that Jesus came to do and what he had begun to do. He said there were eyewitnesses that passed this down. They were servants of the Lord and servants of the Word that were faithful to do this. He said, but I'm doing this, writing an orderly account for you, Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things that you have been taught. I think it's always well for us to have a certainty of those things that have been taught to us. There are times the enemy will try to rob us of that certainty, and though we celebrate Christmas every year, sometimes it may seem like, oh, it's just that same old story. But there is a certainty to it that brings a new awe and wonder each year, to me at least. And it never loses its awe and wonder and the specialness. If we have that certainty, the enemy wants to rob that of us. Luke seemed to have a concern for this, that there would be that certainty and that the things that were being fulfilled in their day can be fulfilled in our day as we receive it ourselves and we live out the same kind of experience that the Lord brought to them. And so from Luke's affirming account, we hear these second affirming announcements given to Mary, and we begin in verse 26 with the first announcement.
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Yeah. You know, there are different versions that we've probably heard of Mary's response through the years, King James Version and other versions. And this latest version is from the NIV version 11, which for the first time says, "May your word to me be fulfilled." And so I had to jump on that word, of course. We're talking about fulfilling the unforeseen in 2019. Fulfilling, and Mary said that it might be fulfilled, the word that you brought to me. And it was interesting to me that Mary questioned how these things might come since she was a virgin, not knowing, or maybe she should have remembered, that the prophecy said that the Messiah would come through a virgin. And yet at the moment, Mary didn't seem to grasp onto that very key element of what the angel was telling her. And I've discovered that in my own life. Sometimes when the Lord is speaking to me, there may be something that he says should be very confirming, and yet in my mind it brings a question. Have you ever experienced that? But then as time goes on, you kind of see where the Lord makes sense of it. Oh yeah, yeah, I should have known that. Well, God is patient with us in our lack of understanding, but brings us to that full understanding as we continue to keep open to him. And this is the beauty of Mary. Even though she couldn't understand how this could be and how why she would be a part of it, nonetheless, may it be to me as you have said. Another version says, be it unto me as you have said. I'm your handmaiden. I am the servant of the Lord. All these different kinds of words we can use. And yet her spirit reveals that key thing that God always looks for in a person and had always looked for. And of course, Jesus represents the greatest picture of that. But here is Mary who's going to give birth to him, representing that spirit. And it's an example for us again. It's not the first time you've probably heard this, but I think it's good to be reminded. It's been encouraging to me just as I have thought about it. What an awesome example, Mary, that young teenage girl, and thrust into the role that she, it would be very difficult. And she'd receive a lot of shaming, as they call it in our day, because of it. But nonetheless, if this is what God wants, I'm open to it. And so that's where it begins, by being open. Say, may it be unto me as you have said, and that the God's word would be fulfilled in her. Well, Gabriel's announcement to her was that certain link of what the prophet Isaiah had prophesied years before in Isaiah 7 and 9.
Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Yeah. And so what was fulfilled that Isaiah had prophesied concerning this? And the very key idea to me is the very last line, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish or fulfill, in a different version, will fulfill this. What is the zeal of the Lord that Isaiah kind of emphasized that? The zeal of the Lord, it is the certain will of the Lord will accomplish this. He's going to fulfill what he promised, but he does need us to cooperate with him. Mary stands as that example, the virgin that would conceive and be with child. It was not going to be accomplished or fulfilled unless she was willing to be that servant. And so it's so key speaking to us. Then Elizabeth declares, her cousin Elizabeth declares another affirming announcement when she goes to see her, spend some time with her in Zechariah in verses 39 through 45.
At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored? That is the mother of my Lord should come to me. As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her."
Sorry, cut off there. So Elizabeth, of course, 6 months ahead of Mary in the process, was already experiencing a miracle in herself, being the age that she was, and having not expected that they were going to be able to have children. But God used that, John the Baptist, we know that part of the story. And in recent years here in the pro-life, pro-choice, some of those arguments and debating back and forth, it's been interesting to me to see that in the Christmas season especially, the pro-life perspective jumps out in the form of John the Baptist, who is, as some would say, either the first fetus or the first unborn baby to recognize Jesus. And he was really the first one to kind of confirm in it. And Elizabeth had that movement of the Holy Spirit within her, and the baby jumped and recognized what was going on here. And so God, you know, in his beautiful way, oftentimes surprises us and works in through ways that are unusual for us, confirming again what had been prophesied and that was going to be a great joy, giving some certainty now to Mary. You can again put ourselves in her place, and we all need confirmation, affirming sometimes when we're saying yes to the Lord, but are we maybe uncertain if this really is his will, and this is really of him. And so this is what God provides through the fetus of John the Baptist. And then she says at the end there in Elizabeth, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promise in her. So Elizabeth is confirming what Mary has already expressed. But again, it's always affirming for us when someone else recognizes that we are stepping out in faith. We are believing what God has said, as unbelievable as it might be for us sometimes. But Elizabeth is saying, blessed are you because you're believing what God is going to fulfill in you. And so I want us to hear those words as well today, that we can be of encouragement to each other and give that affirmation of faith when we see someone else stepping out and believing what God has said to them. Well, this then elicits an outpouring of praise from Mary that can best be entitled the Servant Song. Thirdly, the Servant Song. Some call it Mary's Magnificat, which comes from the word, the Latin word for glorifies. My soul glorifies or magnifies the Lord. And we see that in verses 46 through 55.
And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, our generations will be called, call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors.
Yeah, so this beautiful servant song pours out of Mary in response to what Elizabeth has said to her, again confirming what she felt that God had said to her. But when we receive that kind of confirmation, our faith is built up and we do praise the Lord in response. We can't help ourselves for giving praise and recognizing what the Lord is doing. And he's saying that he would be mindful of me, a humble servant, the humble state of his servant. And then she goes on to contrast those who are proud against those who are humble and how the Lord brings down the proud, lifts up the humble. And she was privileged to be counted in the number of the humble. And this is her servant song, her song of praise. Just as he promised our ancestors. So she again is seeing what had been foreseen, had been promised, is now being fulfilled in her life. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that wonderful when we see that God is fulfilling in our lives something that he had foreseen and been planning for many, many generations. Coming down to our day, God is still mindful of us in our humility, our willingness to serve Him. So Mary's servant song is, of course, fulfilled in Jesus Himself, who is the servant's servant. He's the servant's servant. Isaiah spoke of Him in Isaiah 42.
Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching the islands will put their hope.
Yes, here's my servant. The Lord is introducing Jesus ahead of time as his servant. It says, in faithfulness, fulfilling faith, he will bring justice. He will not falter or be discouraged until he establishes or fulfills justice on the earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. And so this is who had been prophesied beforehand, the servant's servant. And Jesus, of course, himself spoke many times of being a servant and, of course, calling others to be servants with him. And we will just cite a couple of those as we're reminding ourselves this morning. First, out of Mark chapter 9.
Sit down, Jesus called the 12 and said, anyone who wants to be first must be very last and the servant of all. He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, whomever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many.
Yeah, of course, you know the context. James and John, a couple of the disciples, were arguing about who was going to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven, you know, and had this high and lofty view of those who are in authority and all of that. Jesus says, no, it's not the way it works in my kingdom. Sorry, that's not the way it is. I came as a servant. Here's an example for you to serve, just as I came to not to be served, but to serve. He resisted the trying to set up a kingdom and elevating him as king. And he said, no, that's not what it's about. I've come to serve. And if you want to follow me, you get to be like a little child. You get to be the least among us. And that person is the one who's going to be greatest in my kingdom. I'm sorry we don't have the children here this morning, but on the other hand, I'm glad that we didn't, because it gave a chance for some of you who are older and some oldest in the kingdom. Sorry, I couldn't resist. To be a childlike. And the older I get, the more I struggle with not being childish, but being childlike. Okay, it usually comes out childish. But I try to think of myself as a child of God to this day, and sometimes I succeed. But the real key is to be a servant of others. And I have discovered that the thing that really makes me happy, Mary Felice, is when I'm in service to others. When I focus on myself, things just start to cave in and I become more negative and, you know, all of that. But when I remember who God created me to be and what the purpose of my life is and how that will be fulfilled, then the felice comes, the happiness, the merriment, the joy of that. So that's why Jesus used the children as an example. And then, you remember during the Last Supper that he had with his disciples, washing the disciples' feet, and what he said after that in John 13.
When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me.
Yeah, pretty clear, isn't it? I mean, he, again, set the example. He's the Lord and Master, and there should have been a servant there to wash their feet, but he wanted to be that himself and give them an example. And said, if I can do this to you, then welcome to the club, so to speak. You will be blessed if you do this. Now, we do practice foot washing in the Church of God, and we find blessing in it. And we don't just see that as fulfilling. It's the representation of our lives that we offer to each other in service to each other and find that blessing as we do so. But whoever serves me must follow me. He said, where I am, there you must be also. And so we could always be checking ourselves. Is this what Jesus would be doing or not doing? And God will honor the one who is in that place, who is serving with him. And so then began the long line of what we might call, fifthly, servant successors. Isaiah spoke of this in chapter 49 of Isaiah.
And now the Lord says, he who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. He says, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth.
Yeah. And didn't the prophecies and all that Jesus spoke about make it clear that the salvation that he brought was not just for Israel, but for the whole entire world? For God so loved. Yeah. All right. And so there's a line of succession that goes to work here that Jesus began that says it's too small of a thing for this to be just for Israel, but rather it is that I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. And so what he began would be extended through others to the ends of the earth. Well, Israel itself was used and was referred to as the light to the Gentiles. God worked through them for that purpose. And then the apostles, but Saul in particular, who became Paul, was the one whom God especially appointed and anointed to be that servant to the Gentiles. He became the point man in the early church for that purpose. We see this in Acts chapter 26.
Then I asked, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, the Lord replied. Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me.
Yeah. So God had foreseen Saul becoming Paul, as he called him, to a special purpose and to fulfill what had been prophesied, that Israel would be a light to the Gentiles, but that would continue in servant successors. He says, I have appointed you as a servant to the Gentiles. Paul heard this very clearly from the Lord and was recounting that. He said, I am sending you to them to open their eyes, turn them from the dark to the light, so that they may receive forgiveness in me, just as with the Israelites. Now, Paul, of course, later would write about this, and especially in conjunction with the Ephesians, about how he became a servant of this gospel in Ephesians chapter 3.
I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me. to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence.
Yes. And so Paul is very clear in what the Lord has called him to. And it's important for us to see Paul's view of himself in that. He didn't take it as something that he was prideful about, but he said rather, although I am less than the least. How do you become less than the least? I don't know how that's a good way to express it, or to see himself as being the least worthy of anyone. And yet God, by his gift of grace given to me, and through the working of his power in me, helps me to fulfill what he has called me to. And I think that's the key to the heart of what God can accomplish and fulfill in each of us. How do we see ourselves? How do we view ourselves? It's well for us to understand that we are really not much to offer to the Lord. But that's what he wants, is someone who sees themselves like that, that is available and usable, that it's only by God's power that we can accomplish anything. Doesn't mean we put ourselves down in a negative sense, because our worthiness is in the fact that God uses those who consider themselves to be humble and available for him. Those that are proud do not. They want to be out on their own, do their own thing, think they don't need God. And so it requires an understanding, like Mary gave the example, why me? And each one of us can ask that question, why me, Lord? And again, I take myself back to the very beginning, born in little Podunk, Eureka, Montana, even though it was the Christmas tree capital of the world. But the least, the smallest, the runt of the family, and understanding where I came from, but thankful for it, because I was given that picture by my parents. They were servant successors because they had that same attitude and view of themselves. And God used them in great ways in every community they lived in. Quit nodding your head, Anita. Thank you for that affirmation that you just expressed there. And so I'm so thankful for that, to see Mary, to see Saul who became Paul, to see that whole succession of servant attitude and perspective in their hearts. James and John and Peter and Jude, all of them spoke of themselves in their writings as servants. And so it comes down, there's been a long line all the way from them down to this day. So it comes down to us again today. How do we view ourselves? Are we like Mary? Are we like these others? Do we have a humble attitude about ourselves? Maybe not thinking we're much, but knowing that that's the kind of people God prefers to use. And so we have that privilege. And so God calls and invites everyone. Everyone has the possibility, has the invitation. It's just us, for us, to be like Mary and say, may it be unto me as you have said. So that's my answer today. Yeah, yes, yes, Lord, yes, thank you, yes. I hope that's your response too. And if it is, then you will sing with all of your heart and meaning the song that we're going to share again. Earlier we sang a song called Make Me a Servant, which was kind of a children's version. This is more of an adult version for us, but it expresses the same thing, to make me a servant and let me be a part of that great servant succession that Mary displayed, but Jesus himself really began. And he can live it out in our lives today. Be born in me today as we sing this. Let's stand together as we sing Make Me a Servant. Thank you, Father, that you call each and every one of us. There's no one who is beyond your using, especially if we know that we are unable ourselves. Only you, working in us, living in us and through us, can we accomplish and fulfill what you created us to be. Thank you again for the example of Mary, for others that have been examples in our own life. Help us, Lord, to be an example like that. We offer ourselves anew to you today in humility and in gratitude for the privilege that we have to be used by you, especially in this season of celebrating who Jesus came to be, that we would be that kind of example that someone will need to see him more clearly. Thank you, Lord. Help us to be sensitive to your Spirit living in us, the promptings that you give to us. Help us to be obedient, that we can be used by you to fulfill that in our lives. And Lord, we also want to lift up, and I'm making kind of a sharing an announcement in this prayer. We all need to be in special prayer for Hollis and Kathy, who are going through some difficult